Wholesalers, welcome to another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio. Wholesalers, we did a email clinic. We had about 170 of your peers on the line. We did a really good thorough review of how to write and get emails opened such that advisors are actually interested in your content. You know that we're coming off a survey with Financial Planning Magazine, and the vast majority of advisors, two-thirds, would rather communicate with you via email to get an appointment than you calling live. So getting better at email is something certainly we'd like you to do. You can get that recording, that MP3, at Wholesaler Masterminds. Just scroll down the homepage. Take a look at the Learn box. Get the Wholesaler Mastermind email clinic. I got a great guest for you today. He actually is a friend and a mentor and someone that has been in the business of speaking and educating and authorship for the better part of 20 years. He specializes in something that is really quite dear to me, in that he speaks about reviving work ethic. He speaks about how leaders can end entitlement and restore pride to the emerging workforce. And in our pre-discussion, he and I had some dialogue about how are we going to take this, have some conversation for the professional wholesalers that are listening, for the divisional managers, the national sales managers that are listening, and really have some dialogue about what we do. Eric Chester, welcome to Wholesaler Mastermind Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rob. After that introduction, I can't wait to hear what I've got to say.
Well, it's my pleasure to have you here. Tell us a little bit about this notion of work ethic and how we're going to kind of hold the mirror up to ourselves in this discussion.
Well, Rob, I spent years working with young people and spent about 12 years working with companies and organizations that rely on young people coming into the workplace. And I'm talking to everyone from 16 to about 25. And, you know, one of the first guys I ever coined the Generation Y term. And so there was a lot of consternation and frustration out there. And then I started listening to managers and employers talk about their biggest frustrations, and they all seemed to be centered around work ethic. So I went out looking for the book on work ethic, and my research pointed out we hadn't had a book in America written on work ethic since 1904. And I saw this huge hole in the marketplace. Everybody complains about it. Nobody's doing anything about it. So I began researching and writing on work ethic. And the book that you're quoting, Reviving Work Ethic, A Leader's Guide to Ending Entitlement, Restoring Pride in the Emerging Workforce, was one for leaders who, you know, have people that they go, geez, I wish somebody would have given this individual some inkling of a work ethic before they came to work for me. So it was basically what has happened to work ethic in America and why are we at the standpoint that it is, and how do you as a leader develop that, develop a culture? But now there's a lot of people that are going, okay, so maybe work doesn't mean what it should to me. So it's not just about them. Sometimes we have to stop, take a look at ourselves in the mirror and go, where are we with our own, with regard to our own work ethic? You know, do sometimes we get frustrated at other people because we see in them some things that actually remind us of some of the weaknesses that we have. So that's basically the, you know, the genesis and probably the reason that you and I are speaking today.
So, Eric, I do want to mention to our listening audience, wholesalers, as you listen to what Eric's going to speak about, we're going to cover off on, if not all, some of the seven core values that define this notion of work ethic. I want you to be thinking about yourself, but I also want you to be thinking about your internal wholesaler. I want you to be thinking about your assistant. I want you to be thinking about your scheduler. And how can you draw out the best in them and yourself as you listen to Eric talk about these core values? So, Eric, give us an idea. What are these core values? How do they work?
Well, I've interviewed 1,500 different employers at virtually every level, from, you know, the manager at Burger King to the CEO of national financial institutions, et cetera. And I've asked them, okay, so if you have to create an ad, if you have to put something together to recruit people into your organization, what adjectives are going to appear in that ad? Now, you think that most people say skills. We want somebody to be able to drive a forklift or to understand the Adobe Creative Suite or program in JavaScript. But almost without any deviation, what you get on the list are what we could consider soft skills or core values. People want positive, enthusiastic individuals who will show up to work on time, dressed and carrying themselves in a professional manner. People who, you know, will go above and beyond the call of duty, not just do the minimum daily requirement. People that will respect authority and the rules, the culture of an organization. People who are honest. You know, when they call in sick, you know they're sick, not just, I just want to take the day off. And people who know something, a little something about that service mentality, I want to put a smile on your face. Whether or not you buy from me, that's secondary. I want to be of service to you. So those seven statements, and I've alliterated them in seven basic words that are positivity, reliability, professionalism, initiative, respect, integrity, and gratitude. Those are the non-negotiables. Every employer, no matter if you want to flip burgers or fly the space shuttle, that's what they're looking for. And I'm sure all the wholesalers that are dialed in going, yep, check it. That I need each and every one of those things from the people who report to me, whether they're interns or, like you said, schedulers, whatever. I demand that. So we have to stop just for a second and say, okay, you demand it. Do you demand it of yourself? I mean, that's really what work ethic is. Work ethic is two words. Work is an activity. Ethic is something that you know or feel. So it's knowing the ethos and doing an activity, knowing what to do and doing it, marked by these seven core values that are the non-negotiables for all of us. So let's stop and ask ourselves as leaders. So don't just think about the people around you, as you've mentioned. Think about ourselves. You know, am I showing up every single day? What's my attitude look like? You know, am I being as integrous as I demand the people around me to be? Am I respecting the culture that I'm working for? There's some things that I like about this company, and, hey, there's some things I don't like about this company. Am I cherry-picking, or am I buying into it hook, line, and sinker? Those are the kinds of questions that individuals – and even individuals who are leaders to themselves have to be asking themselves every single day.
Eric, and for those of you, Eric, I don't know if you heard my assistant barking. We have construction at the Wholesaler Mastermind Radio Studios here. So to the audience, I apologize if you hear the assistants go off. Eric, tell me about this this notion of entitlement mentality. Because some of what you're speaking about, these issues of positivity and enthusiasm and, you know, one thing that sets me off is this minimum required person, the minimum required attitude, going above and beyond the call of duty. How does that wrap itself around this entitlement mentality? You and I actually had a dialogue via email just the other day about a nuance of this. How do we protect ourselves as employees, well-paid employees? We all earn a lot of money in this profession. How do we insulate or protect, I should say, ourselves from slipping into this issue of entitlement that I know you've studied?
Well, entitlement, basically, it's a feeling most of us feel about somebody else. You know, that person, I'm treating well, I'm paying well, I'm doing this, I'm doing that for them, and they act like they deserve it, like they expect it, and that drives us crazy. It drives us crazy, even when our kids, you know, here, let me give you something that we would have dreamed of having when we were their age, and they turn around and go, yeah, thanks, or not even say thanks. It's like they deserve it, and that drives us absolutely bonkers, every person. But entitlement is something that we have to ask ourselves. Are we acting entitled? Do we notice the folks around us who are making sacrifices for us? So our listeners today make a whole lot of money, right? Probably more money than they thought of, that they thought they would make back in the day. And they, I mean, I you know, if you went back to your days in college and you said, geez, I just wish somebody would pay me X amount of dollars per month, you know, I would, right now, if I could get that amount of money, I'd say, I'm done, that's it. Well, you probably far surpassed that. You're in many multiples of that. Are you appreciative of that fact? Or do you just go, you know what, I just worked hard, I deserve this? And the more that we do that, then the more we act entitled to whatever somebody else is doing or giving. Our customers don't have to give us their business. The individuals that work for us, there's options. You know, the people that our employers who hire us, there's choices. And to shed the entitlement mentality first means that we have to model that. We have to be appreciative of where we are right now, what we have. You know, look at the things that we have, the lives that we have, and really be grateful for that. When we do that, we shed the entitlement mentality, and then maybe we look at other folks who are acting that way with a degree of compassion. You know, we want to just, you know, put our arms around their neck and shake them like an Etch-a-Sketch, because by golly, we're giving more than we're getting back, or they're taking us for granted. It's just a sign of the times. If we can focus on ourselves and go, you know, I'm not going to be entitled. I am going to continue to work hard for, you know, every single day. I can't ever just stop and go, you know what? I've worked hard for 20 years. I'm going to coast for a little while here. And people, by golly, they better just start giving me my due.
You know, Eric,
when
you talk about this, you know, I get calls from prospective coaching clients, and not infrequently, it's a wholesaler that has been in our business for a while and states that they've kind of lost their edge, and maybe, you know, they've lost a bit of their moxie. And it's just interesting. I'm tying together that notion with your notion of entitlement. There is a big slug of that, I think, that it it does exist in our business, because the income bar and opportunity bar is set so high. We get expense accounts. We stay at, you know, 4-star hotels, if not higher. We have the ability to take 2 and 3 weeks vacation per year. We have internal wholesalers, assistant schedulers. We have an infrastructure of marketing and compliance to keep us out of trouble. And at some point, the wholesaler that runs afoul might just kind of curl up with that like a warm blanket and feel it's always going to be there. You know, it's always going to be 72 degrees in the wholesaling house. It's the perfect temperature. And that's when they get lazy, and that's when they lose their edge. Is that what happens?
Well, it does happen, and it happens in all professions. We get comfortable, and I think being comfortable is a death sentence for anybody in the sales game whatsoever. And exactly, in the financial sector, and in many other sectors, but particularly in the financial sector, you know, companies do want to take care of their people, and so there are these, you know, perks and benefits and incentives. And what happens is we distance ourselves from what it took to get there, and just start going, well, I kind of expect this. And that entitlement mentality that drives us crazy in others becomes us, because we're used to staying in a Ritz-Carlton. God forbid I would have to stay in a Super 8, you know? And yet perspective says, wait a minute. If you approach your job with this degree of, I'm elated to be here. By golly, not too many people get to do this. I'm in a privileged profession. If we approached our jobs like that every single day, just today, what would the difference in your net income be? It's when you get fat and lazy. Ah, oh, by golly, I deserve this. They should pay me more. It's just, I heard this comedian, Louis C.K., well-known clip that's on YouTube. He's sitting there in Jay Leno, and he's talking about everything's terrific and nobody's happy. And he's talking about just the perils of flight. And he goes, how many times do people, you know, you land and they're griping and complaining. It's like, I didn't get the bag of peanuts I needed. My seat wouldn't recline. And why we're 6 minutes late. When he said, people should be celebrating when they hit the ground, screaming, going, I can't believe we just flew through space. But the reality is we just become entitled. And entitlement begins to lead us into that path down. I'm not happy. It's not enough. I don't get what I deserve. And trust me, your customers can sense that and feel that. Mm. What made you successful in the sales game is that stay hungry mentality. And that is a core of work ethic. I want to go above and beyond. I want to delight people around me, not just so I can make more money, just because I love delighting people around me. I want to give more, do more, be more. And as long as you feel that way and you're driving that kind of service, the results are going to take care of themselves.
Wholesalers, I hope that the words that Eric has shared with us today, in some measure, are radiating through your brain, giving you some pause for thought, having you measure where you stand on the continuum of engagement or not, on entitlement or not, on positivity or not, enthusiasm or not, and that we just have a moment to reflect on where you sit in all of that. Eric Chester is going to write an article for us, the next issue of I Carry the Bag magazine. As always, if you're not a subscriber, you need to be. Get out to icarrythebag.com. Eric Chester, it is my pleasure to call you a friend and also to have you on Wholesaler Mastermind Radio. Thank you for being here.
Well, it's a delight for me to have you as a friend and a colleague, Rob, and I just appreciate the opportunity to be with you today.
Absolutely. Wholesalers, come back again for another episode of Wholesaler Mastermind Radio.